Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. It's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on how would Jesus vote for president. Meanwhile, let me tell you that there are many laws, or how many laws did God give us through Moses at Mount Sinai? And how many laws has the state given us in our secular government? Well, Moses, when he came down off the mountain, gave us 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. The state and federal government and our counties and cities have given us 2.5 million laws. That's right, 2.5 million. Now, Peter said that we ought to obey God rather than men. He said that in Acts 5, verse 29. And Congress said that we ought to voluntarily apply the teachings of the Scripture in the lives of families, individuals, and societies. And our Supreme Court has said that there's a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that is loyalty to God. And they said that in Seeger versus United States. And you know, every authority in this country, our Congress, our Supreme Court, and God himself, have all identified the Scriptures as being the final authority on law. Now, if you'd like to learn these 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, and how to use them against government intrusion into your God-given rights, it's a right, it's a duty, it's an obligation that we owe to ourselves. We owe it to our families, and we owe it to our society. And here at the law school, we teach all 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments, along with the penalties for the violation of those laws, and we do that twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. So why don't you make it a point to regain your First Amendment right to free exercise this year? And while you're at it, the First Amendment, remember, is the gateway to the Second and your whole Bill of Rights. The law of God is old, but it's not old-fashioned, and it's very relevant to our lives, and it's very relevant to our rights today. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order a free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. Number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. And do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about how would Jesus vote for president. You know, we're in the presidential cycle here in the United States, and everybody's excited about the presidential election. We should be more excited about, in my view anyway, I think we should be more excited about the economy. I think that the last hurrah has been sung now for the world's economy, and we're heading into a Great Depression, on a scale unimagined by the average Joe Sixpack in the world, a depression that'll probably be much worse than the 1930s. Now, before that happens, you get recession, and then you get price controls and government intervention and crises and all kinds of desperate acts and desperate moves, which are all the wrong medicine at the wrong time for the wrong patient for the wrong reasons. But, you know, governments always do that, and people encourage it. People demand that their governments get out there and do something. They never want to take responsibility for themselves. You know, our own flagrant abuse of credit, it's not our fault that I got that mortgage, bought a house that was twice as expensive as I could afford. I expected the prices to keep going up so I'd make a big profit. Okay, kids, but sometimes prices go down. You know, just because you put a bet out on the pass line doesn't mean that the dice are going to come up 7 and 11. Sometimes they come up other numbers, like snake eyes, you know, comes up once in a while. So just because you put your bet down on the table doesn't mean you're going to win. And that's the way life is. Now, I'm the proximate cause of my own injury. And let me give you an illustration. I choose to live here in the Midwest. Nobody put a gun to my head. Nobody threatened me. Nobody's making me live here in Missouri. I live in a place that we call Tornado Alley. For the rest of you people out there, we have scads of tornadoes. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, there was 12 tornadoes, went right through our area here. It didn't hit my house, but then it hit a bunch of other people's houses. And all of us live here. We choose to live here. We like it here. We think it's a great place. We're hillbillies. We're not all that bright. So we think it's a great place. And you people out there in Seattle say, oh my God, these people are lunatics to live in such a place where tornadoes come through and rip things all to pieces. Okay, but listen, when a tornado comes and knocks my house down, I will not go sign up for government aid. I'm not going to go down and sign up, you know, like the Katrina disaster, you know, and then say, hey, I expect you people in Seattle and San Francisco to rebuild my house for me. And by the same token, I hold the same view for you people that live out there in California. You know, earthquakes happen out there. You know, I'm an old Californian, and I'm familiar with the earthquakes out there. Now, you know, the truth of the matter is earthquakes don't cause as much damage, I suspect, as tornadoes and hurricanes do. But, you know, those of us that don't live in California, we look at you people out there in California and say, God, those people are nuts to live in a place like that where the ground shakes. Well, okay, but then, you know, that's your risk. And if your house gets shaken to the ground, you know, don't get mad and blame me because your house, you know, slid off the mountain down into the ocean. Or if the fire swallows you up and burns your house down in one of those Santa Ana winds, you know, it takes your chances. Time was in America when Americans took their chances. We called it free enterprise. We called it the land of opportunity. Today we want the land of security. I mean, we want to build our house up on top of the mountain down in Southern California surrounded by brush and hope that a fire doesn't come and burn it down. We want to build our house on a mountainside or a hillside overlooking the Pacific Ocean, real neat place. And then when it rains, we hope that our house doesn't slide down into the ocean. But you know, life is full of risks, and risks occur. People want to live on the Gulf Coast. Now, for you people wondering why people would want to live in Biloxi, Mississippi, it's just a hell of a neat place to live. You know, and it's got a beautiful ocean view, and you know, it's just a great place. But there's hurricanes there. Every once in a while, hurricanes come along. And so Americans today are different than Americans of 100 years ago. See, when the great hurricane came into Galveston, Texas, and killed 6,000 people back in 1900, you know, the people in Galveston, the people of America said, well, it's a tough break, and we're just sorry as hell for you. And a lot of people donated a lot of their money out of their pockets, free will offerings, to help those people get back on their feet. And that's called charity, and that's the right thing to do. But the government didn't get involved in that and come down and say, oh, my God, we're going to tax the rest of the economy, and you people in Seattle are going to rebuild New Orleans. They didn't do that. You know, if you people in Seattle want to cough up a little money and send it down there and help us rebuild Biloxi, we'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. And if you have an earthquake up there in Seattle or the volcano goes off up there, you know, maybe we'll reciprocate. But we weren't paying for it with taxpayer dollars. We didn't have a president that said, no matter what the cost, we'll tax the people of Seattle and San Francisco until we rebuild it. That's what Bush said. He said, doesn't make any difference what it's going to cost to rebuild New Orleans. We're just going to tax everybody and do it. God, I've always been grateful for politicians that are out spending my money, aren't they? Isn't that great? Well, listen, the politicians are at it again. And it isn't just now with natural disasters. They're talking about socialized medicine. And so at least on the Democratic side, that is Hillary, Brock, and Bill Richardson, and of course he dropped out the other day. But you know, all these Democrats, they've got a health policy. And Americans want to be protected from disease. Well, hell, I want to be protected from disease. I mean, stop and think about it. Who in the hell wants to have an earthquake knock their house down? Who wants a tornado to come through and destroy everything they've got? Who wants a hurricane to come through and flood out and destroy everything we've got? Nobody in his right mind wants that. But you know, things happen. It's life. Now, there is a God in heaven, and this God in heaven gave us some laws, and he said, now listen, if you don't want hurricanes in Biloxi, I got some rules. If you don't want earthquakes in San Francisco, you got to follow my directions. If you don't want tornadoes in Springfield, Missouri, then listen up. And of course, we don't listen up, and we don't follow directions. And then we get bad things that happen to us. Now, of course, you atheists out there, you're sitting there saying, this guy's nuts. Well, okay, maybe. But there's an answer to disease. Now, for instance, some years back in San Francisco, they used to have what they call bathhouses out there. And there was a queer that was working for the Chronicle. I forgot his name now. He died yet. He got AIDS. He was a sodomite. But he wrote a book about sodomy in San Francisco. And I bought the book and I read it. And I read it because I wanted to see sodomy from the inside. I'm like that. I like to read books written by sodomites about sodomy because they're pretty accurate. They're going to tell you, well, here's what we believe. Here's what we think. Here's what we're doing. That's why I like to read. If I want to find out about a Catholic, I go to a Catholic and ask him, hey, Catholic, come over here. Tell me about Catholicism. I don't try to get Catholicism from a Baptist. I don't think I'm going to get an accurate report. And I don't go to a Catholic to find out about Protestants either. I go to the Protestants and say, hey, tell me, what is it that you people believe? What is it that you're doing here? And so, like I just mentioned, the people in Biloxi, Mississippi, they live in Biloxi, and they like it there, and I don't blame them. I don't hold it against them. It's just that you people down in Biloxi, I don't want to rebuild your house every time a hurricane comes through there. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not here to tell you where you should live, but I don't want you to saddle me with this from each according to his ability and to each according to his need crap and tell me that you want me to rebuild your house because of this hurricane, knock it down. You know, let's be intelligent people. If a tornado comes through here and knocks my house down, I will rebuild my house. I'm not asking any of you people out there, you know, to guarantee life for me. Things happen, and you know. Now, in the Bible, there's a God. There's a guy in the Bible here who says, now listen, I'll make sure that you don't get any hurricanes. Tornadoes, earthquakes, natural disasters and wars, disease, sickness, death, if you'll follow my directions. Now, I don't know that the Catholic God does that, or the Protestant God, or the Jewish God. I don't know about your gods out there, you people, but there is a God here in the scripture that says, hey, listen, you know, follow my instructions and I'll protect you from them. So I thought, well, can we apply that to Medicare, Medicaid, health insurance, AIDS, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and disease research? Because those are big topics here. I mean, all the presidential candidates are talking about AIDS and research. No, Superman. Remember, Superman died here a couple of years ago, but he was all in favor of stem cell research. We got to have stem cell research because I fell off my horse and broke my neck. Anybody ever wonder, well, how come Superman fell off his horse and broke his neck? Where was his guardian angel? Where was God? How come God allowed Superman to fall off his horse and break his neck? Does anybody ever think about that? So most people say, well, I don't know. The ways of God are just so high. We just can't figure it out. I was watching after Hurricane Katrina, and this church in Biloxi had been knocked down. So this preacher, he came out there, and here are the people in the parking lot, you know, after the hurricane. And he's going to hold church services there in the parking lot. And he's being interviewed on one of the major networks. And so he said, well, we've lost our church building, but we haven't lost our church. Because the church is made up of the members. The church is made up of the ecclesia. The church is made up of the people. And we've got the people here. We've got our church. And he said, you know, we don't know why God did this to us, but, you know, God's ways are just higher than our ways. And maybe this is beyond our understanding at this time, but God will reveal it to us, and we will persevere. You know, if I got an ass-kicking like that, you know, I'd be asking the old man, what'd I do, Dad? I just my common sense and say, what'd I do? What if your old man came up to you, and he just grabbed a hold of you, slapped you up alongside the head, just beat the living hell out of you? Never said a word, just whipped you something fierce, you know. And then he gets all through with that, and then he turns around and he walks off. Doesn't say a word. Wouldn't you wonder, why did that happen? Why did he do that? My dad always told me, he always said, here's what you did, and here's what you're going to get for it. And then he'd lace me good. And then the theory was that, you know, unless your kid was brain dead, you know, he'd learn from that. He wouldn't do that again. Now, human beings, you know, are kind of peculiar. You know, after that Hurricane Katrina, you know, you'd think somebody'd wake up and say, Dad, why'd you do that? You know, you'd think after those 12 tornadoes just came down on Springfield that the news media would say, all of the pastors of all of the churches have gotten together to call for a 3-day period of fasting and prayer that we may beseech God to find out what it was that we did for which he has punished us with 12 tornadoes. I never heard a word about that. I heard the churches, you know, are getting together there, and they're opening up their churches, you know, for safe centers and refugees and things like that. But I didn't hear anybody say, well, let's see if we can get to the root cause of this and find out how come God's doing this anyway. That is, of course, if you assume that God was doing this. So let's shift over here to healthcare for a minute. You know, I want to pick out Hurricane Katrina. I mean, that's something that was fairly recent, and we can all grasp that. It's a little more difficult for us to pick up on Medicare, Medicaid, and health insurance. Because I was watching the Lehrer News Hour last night, and Judy Woodward, and she was interviewing some people up in New Jersey, and you know, just voters, you know, and how are you people going to vote, and what's on your mind, and the subject matter was health care. And a couple of them, you know, were conservative Republicans and said the government's the problem. Let's not get socialized medicine. But the bulk of them, the six of them, I believe, out of eight, wanted socialized medicine. Now, in America, we don't call it socialized medicine. We call it health care insurance. How would Jesus vote for health care insurance? How would Jesus answer if he was in a forum, if he was in a debate, and the moderator asked him, well, what's your plan for health care insurance, Mr. Jesus? What are you going to do about the high cost of health care insurance? Should the taxpayers pay that? I mean, should we have a national system of health care insurance in which medicine and government and in the insurance industry or some new bureau of insurance in the government or Social Security or somebody gets together and makes a mandatory policy and everybody signs up and participates so we can all go to the hospital and get a good oncologist to treat our cancer? I think those are pretty intelligent questions. You know, I don't blame you people, you know, for being concerned about. One guy says, I'm paying $13,000 a year for health insurance out of his own pocket. He's a private contractor. He needs health insurance. At least he believes he does. Now, I don't have any health insurance, boys and girls. I'm an old man. I'm pushing 70. I haven't got any health insurance. My wife, she's an old lady, and she's pushing 70, and she hadn't got any health insurance, and we ain't in the mood to buy any either. Isn't that funny? You know, people that are over 65 on average, if you're an average 65-year-old, they call us seniors now, see. When I was a kid, they called us old farts. Now they call us seniors. Well, anyway, the senior status I've got, once you reach the senior status, on average, we're taking 6 drugs. My wife and I don't take any drugs at all. None. Zero. And if you offered them to me, I'd tell you to stuff them. Drugs are the problem, not the cure. Nobody's ever been cured with drugs. Cure to what? But I'm not here to tell you people you shouldn't take your drugs. God, heaven forbid. Now, George Bush, a few years back, he got all you senior citizens out there free drug coverage. Wasn't that wonderful? But that's what every heroin addict's dream in life is that the government is gonna put a program together to furnish heroin to all the heroin addicts and cocaine to all the cocaine addicts. Well, here in America, all the senior drug addicts get their drugs paid for now at taxpayer expense. Isn't that just real special? My old great-granddaddy, you know, old Abe Snyder, he lived to be 92. I don't know that the old guy ever took any drugs. Back in the 40s, he died in 47. And you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have a medicine cabinet. We had a mirror on the wall where old granddad shaved, but we didn't have a medicine cabinet. And then as time went on, we got all these pills, and now we've got all these over-the-counter remedies. And you listen to the Katie Couric News Hour, and my God, that's all they do is advocate and advertise drugs. America is a society of drug abusers, drug addicts, and so on. And they want more drugs. They believe in doctors and hospitals, one thing or another. And it costs $13,000 a year, and now they want Georgie Gordon to pay for it. They want me to pay taxes to pay their health care insurance. Hell, I don't even have it for myself. Why would I want to buy it for you? Now, I'm a nice guy, you know, and I'm not opposed to you buying health insurance, and I'm not opposed to you going to the hospital, and I'm not opposed to you people doing your thing out there, but I don't want to pay for it. Now, getting back here to the AIDS thing, this newspaper reporter working for the Chronicle wrote a book, and there was a thing out here called bathhouses, and these sodomites would go to these bathhouses, and they'd have sexual relations, if you can believe this, for you normal people, sexual relations totally anonymously through holes in the wall. Well, that's a new one on me. You know, I thought sex was a pretty neat invention. I've always been in favor of sex. I always liked it real good, but I never could feature having sex through the wall with some total stranger. I just, especially with a man. So anyway, they're having this sex out there. Now, all of a sudden, they come up with a thing called AIDS. You know, when I was a kid, the word AIDS, you know, we had nurses' AIDS. I mean, I've heard of AIDS. It was somebody that was aiding or helping somebody else, but we never had a disease called AIDS. You know, that was something new. Came along about 1980 or 81 with Rock Hudson, you know. So anyway, this Randy was his name. This newspaper guy's name was Randy. Wrote a hell of a good book. I like that book. And he explained how the sodomites were having sex in these bathhouses and spreading AIDS everywhere. And so he was in favor of closing the bathhouses down. He said, we've got to close these bathhouses down. We've got to clean up our act over here, all of us, he called himself, us sodomites. They didn't call themselves sodomites, they called themselves gays, you know. And so, good logical conclusion on his part. He says, hey, we got this disease running rampant among our people, among our political group over here, all of the gay people, and so we got to solve that problem. And so he proposed these problems, and of course, most of it is we got to get the government involved, and we've got to get AIDS research cooking over here, and then we got to find a cure to AIDS. And don't you think before you find a cure to AIDS, you ought to find the cause of AIDS? Don't you think you ought to put the horse out in front of the buggy? I think horses pull buggies better than they push them. Just my observation. I think we ought to pull this buggy, kids, rather than push it. And so he was all in favor of socialized medicine. And of course, all of the criminals are. Criminals, look, drug addicts are all in favor of free drugs for heroin addicts. I don't blame them. I would just love some kind of a government program to come over here for farmers and say, we're just going to send checks out to all you farmers out there because we love you. All of you radio broadcasters, we're just going to send checks to radio broadcasters. You know, we just love you. Hell, you know, I pay for my own radio time, kids. I'm not, you know, I don't come on the air here and say, why don't you send me $25? And because I just really need the money, and my wife and I just, you know, struggling to make ends meet. I listen, you know, to Jim Baker and the 700 Club. And I mean, these guys come on the air. Maybe they got something to say. Maybe they don't. But they spend most of their time trying to generate sympathy so that they can generate money. And they want you people to send them money. You know, hell, if all you want to do is listen to some guy ask for money, you know, send me some. I'm not opposed to you sending me money, but, you know, I'm not on the air here to tell you to send me money. I'm telling you there's an answer to the riddle, and you need an answer to the riddle. I mean, a guy paying $13,000 a year for insurance, a guy that's got AIDS over here, he needs a solution to his problem. I don't deny that. All of you gay people out there, you need a solution to your problem. I'm not sitting here harping and saying, hey, listen, you know, go die in the corner quietly. I'm just telling you, hey, all you gay people out there, I don't want to pay a dime looking for an AIDS remedy for you. Not a nickel, not a penny. And you people in Biloxi, I don't want to pay a penny of my tax dollars to rebuild your house. Now, if I come down with AIDS, boys and girls, I'm not asking you for a penny of your money going to research to save me. You just let me die. You just let me pay my own penalties. And I'm prepared to do that. Boys and girls, sickness and disease is the penalty that we pay for broken law. Now, let me explain it. It's very simple. No big mystery over here. There's a law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, you heard that when you went to Sunday school when you're just a little tyke. Remember that? All right. Now, the God that gave us that law, I mean, the guy that gave us this law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. There had to be a penalty to go along with the law, because if there was no penalty, then it's not a law. To have a law, you got to have teeth. Got to have hurt. Got to have pain. When my daddy said, make your bed, that was not a casual suggestion. He never said to me, son, wouldn't you like to make your bed? Wouldn't it be a lot of fun if you made your bed? Wouldn't your bed look a lot better if it was made up? Let me show you how to make your bed. Don't you think that making your bed is good for you? I never got anything like that from my dad. I think he did show me how to make my bed. And I think he told me, now every day I expect you to make your bed. And if I come in here and I find that your bed isn't made, there's going to be pain, suffering, and anguish. There's going to be tears, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. I didn't believe him. So I tested him. Yeah, I didn't make my bed. So my daddy was a prophet. He was a prophet in his own time. And after I wiped my tears away and I picked myself up off the floor and I got over all the pain, suffering, hurt, and anguish, it didn't take me long to figure out. Now let me see. When I make my bed, I don't get hurt. When I don't make my bed, I get hurt. There's pain. Therefore, what choice do I want to make? I don't really want to make the bed. But if I don't make the bed, I hurt real bad all over. Do I want to hurt real bad or do I want to make the bed? And so, you know, it just came to a point where making the bed felt a lot better than not making the bed. And so I learned how to make that choice. Every day I could just make that choice all by myself. All right, now let's take AIDS. AIDS hurts real bad. And when God gave us this law that said, thou shalt not commit adultery, he put a penalty with it called venereal disease. And so he gave us some real stiff venereal diseases. They're called herpes, gonorrhea, and syphilis. And for a long time, it worked pretty good. You know, most people would avoid Flo's whorehouse for fear of getting AIDS, herpes, or VD. It was kind of like me making the bed. I would make my bed out of fear that I was going to get beat up and hurt real bad if I didn't make my bed. Now, I know that for all of you liberals out there that despise God in corporal punishment and pain and suffering and anguish, this God is a terrible, awful ogre. I don't deny that. And I doubt if he would. I think he'd just tell you, yeah, that's right. I just kind of like my dad, you know, and just say, yeah, you're just about right. I'm a terrible, awful ogre. And as long as you're living under my roof, kid, you're going to make your bed. And as long as you're living on planet Earth, you're going to follow my laws. And if you don't, it's going to hurt real bad. Now, we people out here haven't figured this out yet. We have not figured out that disease is the penalty that we pay. AIDS came along in 1980. See, we came up with a cure to syphilis and gonorrhea. And we could give the finger to God and we could say, ha, 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 we've got penicillin. Okay. You got penicillin? Okay. And you beat me on the gonorrhea and you beat me on the syphilis. Now let's take on a new one, children. Let's take on AIDS. Let's see how well you do with this one. And so we got in the habit, you know, when somebody came up with penicillin, say, hey, this penicillin kills syphilis and gonorrhea, so now we can go back to Flo's whorehouse and give God the finger and we can play with the whores again. Now God came along with a new disease, a disease that we'd never heard of before. And now we've been struck down with a disease 10 times worse than syphilis and gonorrhea. And now we've gotten in the habit of, well, what we need is medical research. That costs a lot of money, so who's going to pay for that? Well, let's have the taxpayers pay for it. Well, this is one taxpayer over here says, to hell with you, I ain't paying it. How's that? So if you guys want to go practice sodomy in the bathhouse, go ahead. I don't care. Want to die at age 45? Have at it. But don't ask me to pay a dime to look for a cure to a disease that you brought about yourself. There's no such thing as a broken law without a penalty. And if there is anything out there that you think is a law without a penalty, it ain't a law. It's a suggestion. My daddy had a law. It was called Make Your Bed Law. And there was a penalty with it. And so the creator of the universe made a law, and he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And he made a real powerful penalty that goes along with it. It's called venereal disease. Okay? It's how simple that is. You know, you don't have to go to college to figure that out, kids. Unless you're brain dead, you ought to be able to just observe what's going on around you and say, well, you know, that looks pretty bad to me. Maybe I ought to reconsider that. So as a presidential candidate over here, we'll take a look at this from the perspective of Jesus running for president right after this. Let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide on the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our webpage. It's georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults in compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on subjects such as law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package to explain why we do all this. If you'd like to order one, just call us and ask. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. The website is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about how Jesus would vote for president. And on the subject matter of Medicare, Medicaid, health insurance, the Bible is not silent about socialized medicine and health care insurance. It's got a lot to say about it. So let me start with a section over here on disease. In Exodus 15, verses 23 through 26, the creator of the universe, I mean, you know, the big kahuna, whoever you call him, you know, the Pope or Jesus or whatever you think, the guy that wrote the scripture, the guy that was talking to Moses up on top of Mount Sinai over there and sent him down and said, hey, tell these jerks down here for me. Give them this message. Here's the message. Listen to the message. He said, go down, tell them. And when they came to Marah, they couldn't drink the water of Marah because they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? I want you to notice here, just a little editorial comment. The people murmured against Moses. They hated him. The Israelites just absolutely hated. They despised Moses. Of course, they didn't care much for God either. And they said, well, what shall we drink? So Moses cried unto the Eternal, and the Eternal showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God, and if you will do that which is right in his sight, and if you will give ear to his commandments, and if you will keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, because I'm the Eternal, your God, that healeth thee. Did you catch that, boys and girls? Did you grasp it? Let me read the salient point. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians. I will put none of these diseases upon you that I put upon the Sodomites, the gays of San Francisco in their bathhouses. And boy, does that rankle people. I can just picture it right now. God, my email box is going to be full of all this. Why, you dirty no-good so-and-so. Hey, kids, I didn't write that now. Don't get mad at me and send me an email and say, well, you dirty low-down so-and-so. You send your email to God. You send your email to this guy that said, I'm not going to put these diseases upon you. If what? Now pay attention here, children. Let me read it to you again. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God, and if you will do that which is right in his sight. I'm not asking you to do what's right in the sight of the Pope. I'm not asking you to do what's right in sight of the preacher, the minister, the prophet. I want you to do what's right in my sight. Which I guess means man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which we haven't been doing too good lately, have we not, children? Now, pay attention here. You do what I tell you. Do what's right in my sight. If you will give ear to my commandments, oh, my God, thou shalt not commit adultery. We have to give ear to that kind of crap? Huh? Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but you know, it's kind of like my old man. He said, make your bed, and if you don't, it's going to hurt real bad. Here's a God comes along and says, well, I'm going to spoil all your fun on Friday night down at Flo's Whorehouse. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And if you go down to Flo's Whorehouse and commit adultery, it's going to hurt real bad. But don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Make your choice. Fun and frolic or AIDS. And that's just the way life is, you know. It's full of bad news. Want to live in Biloxi, Mississippi? Okay. Okay, Biloxi, listen up. If you want to live in Biloxi, Mississippi, that's fine. But hey, you might need me in the process over here, because there's bad things called hurricanes. And in fact, if there isn't a hurricane that hits you accidentally, I'll send one over there and I'll get you on purpose. Now, there's another statute over here. Now, that's the one on disease. I just wanted you to know that God himself puts disease on people. I don't think you need health insurance. I think you need to obey God and keep his commandments. Now, if you'll practice the health laws, now, kids, there's 18 of these health laws. 18 or 19, I kind of lose track every once in a while. Getting old, you know, Alzheimer's catching up with me, I guess. There's 18 or 19 of these health laws. Now, some of these health laws are just kind of plain common sense things, you know, like wash your hands. Hell, there was a medical doctor here in 1847, came up with that idea. He says, hey, why don't you wash your hands? You probably spread fewer diseases. God told you, don't touch dead bodies. That's a health ordinance. Do you know that it's against the law to touch a cadaver? And you medical students out there, you were out there playing with cadavers so that you could cut them open and see how they were built. Then you went into pregnant women or women that had just delivered babies, and you gave them disease, and they died because you didn't wash your hands. Now, God told you, don't touch dead bodies. Did you know that? There's a law that says don't touch dead bodies. Somebody's going to say, well, then how would we bury the dead? Well, there's a statute that covers that one, too. It says you're unclean until the evening. You got to wash. You guys didn't figure that out until 1847. Moses told you, wash up, dummies. Now, of course, people don't listen. And a lot of people died as a result of it. The law that said don't touch dead bodies was not a casual suggestion. Don't you think it would be safer if you didn't touch dead bodies? Wouldn't it be nicer if you didn't touch dead bodies? Or it would be pleasurable to me if you didn't touch dead bodies? Or... You know, if there's one thing that I find fault with God, he's never explained to us the reason why. He just says, don't do it, and then he doesn't tell you why. I think we'd probably grasp the significance of it better if he said, because it's got disease pathogens, dummy. But then, hell, I don't know if those people knew what disease pathogens were. I'm not sure that Moses had a microscope with which he could look at bacteria. So God came along and he says, well, let me tell you. Hell, we didn't have microscopes in 1847 either. When Simon Weiss, you know, came up with the theory that there was something that was on the dead cadavers that was being spread to the live mothers in the nursery, he didn't know that it was bacteria, viruses, and disease. He could see that there was something there. He didn't know what it was. Louis Pasteur came along a few years later and said, oh, it's bacteria. God saw that 3,000 years ago, seeing how he created bacteria, you know. He knew that there was bacteria, so he said, don't touch dead bodies. Now, as it relates to Hurricane Katrina over here, and now here's Jesus running for president. Now, Mr. Jesus, how do you stand on health care insurance? And he says, you know, if we'd obey God and keep his commandments, we don't need health care insurance. Well, boys and girls, if you don't need health care insurance, that means you don't get sick. If you don't get sick, you don't need doctors. If you don't need doctors, you don't need hospitals. Do you know that the entire medical industry, which represents 10% of our gross domestic product, would be a non sequitur with Jesus as president? We wouldn't have any hospitals. And then you say, well, where would I go when I get sick? You die, dummy. You would die because you broke the law. You know, can we figure it out yet? Look, if you go to the bathhouse and you practice sodomy, you're going to get AIDS. Well, what do I do when I get AIDS? You die, dummy. Why? Because the penalty for sodomy is death. I told you that yesterday, remember, when we talked about the death penalty. But I don't want to die, but I want to practice sodomy. Okay, now that's what our dilemma is. That's the dilemma. And here comes the politician. Here comes the medical doctor. Here's how this game is played. Here's how this works. See, when you and I want to practice sodomy, bestiality, adultery, and we want to play at the whorehouse, we know that there's a penalty involved. It's called AIDS, herpes, and VD. So what we need is penicillin. So the medical doctor goes out, and he researches, and he finds penicillin. Then he comes to us and says, I can sell forgiveness of sin. This dirty ogre God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Ha, ha, ha. I beat him at his own game. Listen, kids, you go on down, you commit adultery, you can practice whatever you want. I've got the magic elixir. It's called penicillin. I've got antibiotics. You go down, have fun and frolic, have a great time, break the law, come on back. If you get VD, come to me for $180. I'll shoot you up, and we will beat God at his own game. And the politician comes along and says, and just to make sure that we've got enough money to find new cures for all of these diseases, we'll have medical research. And so here's the politician. Here comes Hillary Clinton, says, okay, I'm going to tax you, Gordon, so that we can find a cure to AIDS, so that I can get all of these votes from these people in San Francisco so I can become president, so that I can spread, you know, all of the good things the politicians spread among the people. And I'm sitting over here saying, well, look, I don't think we need to spend a lot of money on AIDS. I mentioned this to you last time. I don't think we need to spend $1,225,000 storing Charlie Manson in Vacaville, California. I think we could just take him out and stone him to death for about $1.39 and get it over with, bury that sucker, and save $1 million, maybe more. Now some bleeding heart liberal comes along and says, oh no, that would produce blood. We can't have that. Lock him up in a cage. Well, it does stimulate the economy. After all, you got to hire, you know, contractors to build prisons. And then you got to have prison administrators. And then you got to have guards, you know, to guard these guys. And then you got to have farmers producing food to feed them. And it costs $1,225,000 to feed this guy $35,000 a year for 35 years. But I look at it and say, hell, I don't want to pay that. That's what I'm telling all you sodomites out there. Hell, I don't want to pay for your sin. I don't want to pay for your criminal behavior. You people down in Biloxi, you know, nice guys that you are. I don't want to pay for your sins. Of course, the politician comes along and says, oh, well, now, wait a minute. You know, we need to have security here. God runs around sending tornadoes and hurricanes and tearing up the landscape, raising hell with all of us. And now we've got to have insurance. Well, let me tell you what insurance is. Insurance, by definition, in law, is called limited liability. And it's an easy theory to grasp. We all see that there's a potential liability. Our house could burn down. We see houses that burn down, and we say, oh, my God, that could happen to me. Or, you know, an earthquake comes and your house falls down. Oh, my God, that could have been my house that fell down. It wasn't, but it could have been. Or a tornado comes through. Like 12 tornadoes came through here a couple of weeks ago and knocked down a bunch of houses, caused a lot of damage, or it didn't hit my house. And it didn't hit your house, and it didn't hit a lot of other people's houses. See, these tornadoes, they don't hit everybody's house. They only hit, you know, 1 in 100. But, you know, for the one guy in 100 that the tornado hit, you know, that's pretty devastating. And, of course, he says, well, I'm just an innocent victim. I wasn't doing nothing, and all of a sudden this strong wind came and knocked my house down. And he doesn't say, you know, I'm a sinner. I'm a criminal. And God sent a tornado and knocked my house down. I got my just desserts. I never said that with my daddy. You know, when I didn't make my bed and my old man whipped me, I never said, well, Dad, it was my fault. I'm responsible for my actions, Dad. I didn't follow your instructions. I didn't follow your commandments. I didn't wash the dishes. I didn't mow the grass. I didn't make my bed. And I deserve that whipping. Now, children, I can tell you, I grew up there, but I never once said that to my dad. I cried and I sniveled and I wept and I whined. And I said, why'd you do that to me? Did it to me because I didn't make the bed, because I didn't follow instructions. All right, so, you know, you preachers out there, you know, you guys go to college, you get letters after your names, and you're dumb as a box of rocks. God's ways are just higher than our ways, and we just don't know why God did this. All right, so let me tell you again now, so there's no misunderstanding. I'll read it to you again. He says, now, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal your God, and if you will do that which is right in his sight, and if you'll give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians and the Sodomites of San Francisco and the other criminal elements of New Orleans and Biloxi, Mississippi. So if you want to know how high God's ways are, they ain't very high. It's right here in Exodus 15, verses 23 through 26. You give me the finger, kids, and then watch what happens. You want to give me the finger over there in the bathhouse? Watch this. You want to go down to Flo's whorehouse? Okay. I think you'd be better advised if you didn't do that. But then, you know, that's a choice that all of us have to make. Now, if you want to live on the Gulf Coast, that's a hell of a neat place to live, but you need to obey God and keep his commandments. Now, here's a little section here. Maybe you hadn't heard this before. It's in Exodus 23, verses 20 through 25. Five verses, easy to read. Probably read it here in about a minute or two. Listen, this is, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place that I have prepared, Biloxi, Mississippi, and New Orleans. But beware of him, that's the angel. Now, beware of this angel, and obey his voice and provoke him not. Do not give this angel the finger. For he, the angel, will not pardon your transgressions, that is, your sins, your criminal behavior, your Mardi Gras in New Orleans, your sexual licentiousness. He will not pardon those transgressions. Because my name is in him. He is my ambassador. But if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, that is, you keep my Ten Commandments and my 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries, because my angel shall go before you, and he will bring you in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. In modern English, he would say, I will be an adversary to your adversaries. My angel shall go before you, and I will bring you in unto the IRS, the EPA, and the State Tax Commission, and all the rest of the bureaucrats. And I'll cut them off, including the Afghanistanis and Al-Qaeda and all of your enemies, which you're having a real problem with. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them. You shall not get their social security numbers and their driver's licenses and marriage licenses. And nor shall you do after their works, like voting for Hillary and Barack. But you shall utterly overthrow them and totally break down their images, and you shall serve the Eternal your God, and he will bless your bread and bless your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, you want to know where the sickness comes from, all of you sickies out there? All right, now you've got some sickness or disease. And I'm not here to laugh at you and make fun of you. You got a problem. I don't deny it. But you're the proximate cause of your own injury. Hey, boys and girls, you put every mouthful of those Krispy Kremes in your mouth. I didn't come up to you and knock you to the ground and twist your arm behind your back and stick that Krispy Kreme in your nose now, did I? Yeah, I didn't force you to go down there to McDonald's and eat that grease burger that has 30% fat in it. Now, did I? Now, come on, kids. Let's wake up and smell the coffee. There are health laws here. And I'm sorry to report to you that sickness and disease are the penalties that you get for the violation of these health laws. And when you go down to Kroger's or Safeway and you buy Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage and you eat Jimmy Dean pure pork fat every morning for breakfast, kids, let me tell you, it's going to hurt real bad. I was telling my students, you know, when they come in here to school, I say, now listen, if you're going to violate these laws, you need health insurance. If you're going to eat Krispy Kremes, you need insurance. If you're going to eat Jimmy Dean, you need health insurance. If you're going to Flo's Whorehouse, I recommend health insurance. Now, I'm an old man. I don't have any health insurance. I don't need it. If Jesus was running for president, he'd say, why should we burden the taxpayers to pay taxes to look for a cure to AIDS, which is the penalty for adultery? Sodomy is a form of adultery. Adultery comes in more than one form. It's a sexual crime. Having sex with animals is a crime. It's called bestiality. It's a form of adultery. Sodomy is a form of adultery. You know, whoredom is just a form of adultery. I'm not practicing whoredom. I'm just shacking up with a mistress. All right, now kids, there's no such thing on planet Earth as sex without marriage. It doesn't exist on this planet without a penalty. Now, 25% of our teenagers now have a sexually transmitted disease. 25% of children aged 12 to 18 have an STD. My God. Well, okay, we have sex education in public school, but it didn't prevent STDs. Now, we never had that rate of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, when I was a kid. But we do today, and we have sex education in public schools. Does sex education in public schools cause STDs among teenagers? I don't know, but it sure as hell doesn't prevent it. Now, does it? But thou shalt not commit adultery. And I think we'd get more mileage teaching the law of God than we will teaching sex education in public school. Now, there's a choice for you to make. Get out and make it. I'm out of time again. I have to leave it right there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. And if you'd like more information about the Law School or The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by pre-arrangement, and the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. So if you'd like more information about that homeschooling program, go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Well, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. Good night, friends.